Hey, I know you're probably driving or running or cleaning the house or doing something else when you're listening to this, but look, if you're a B2B marketer and you need to start generating revenue from your marketing, then you have to check out our 12-week program, the B2B Incubator. It's built for small, in-house B2B marketing teams with limited time and budget. We give you the strategy, the templates, and the tools to start driving revenue, not just leads. So if you're ready to act on all the advice Kevin and I give you, next time you take that first sip of coffee in the morning, make sure you head to the B2B Incubator and apply now. There's only 10 spots available per cohort, with our next one launching at the end of May 2024. Remember, the B2B Incubator, apply now so you don't miss out. We've had B2B marketing managers, CMOs, marketers in demand gen roles, content leads, and more all go through this program, and they're currently executing the demand strategies that they've created. Some are now even contributing as much as 80% of the pipeline to their business after working through it. Make sure you check out the b2bincubator.com and apply now to start driving more demand and more revenue for your brand. Okay, let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome to the B2B Playbook podcast. Each week we discuss strategies and tactics to help B2B businesses grow online.
We're your hosts, Kevin and George, a couple of digital marketing professionals. We've waded through the noise and made the mistakes so you don't have to.
The B2B world has changed, and you need to put your customers at the heart of your marketing.
We'll cover how you can use our framework, the 5 B's, to create a brand that customers are ready to buy from, love, and advocate for.
We'll get insights from successful people in the industry and cover the latest trends to keep you on the cutting edge of the B2B world.
If you're interested in B2B marketing strategies and tactics that work, then this podcast is for you.
Subscribe to get the latest from the B2B Playbook first.
Remember, successful B2B marketing starts with the buyer.
Welcome back to the B2B Playbook. Listeners, viewers, today we are discussing, should you, dear listener, should you start your demand generation strategy from scratch, or should you just plug the gaps in your existing one? I'm sure it's a question that you're all asking yourselves, and today we're going to give you 10 questions to work through. And when you go through them, you're going to find out whether or not you need to throw this whole damn thing out that you've got running, or you can go through and plug some things up retrospectively. Kevin, we are in season 6 of the show. We spent seasons 1 to 5 giving away our 5 B's framework for demand generation, releasing it step by step. Give us a super quick overview of what those 5 steps are.
Sure thing, George. The 5 B's, listeners, for those of you who have been with us for some time, you'll know these, but very quickly, they're be ready, be helpful, be seen, be better, and be the best. And as George said, it's our framework for doing demand generation, for doing B2B marketing generally. And it starts with deeply understanding your customers, building that relationship of trust with them online or wherever it is that they already live in, and amplifying that helpful content that you've used to build those relationships. And then really optimizing that whole process and thinking about that whole process in the context of advanced strategies and tactics and going back over the framework as you need over time.
Thank you, Kevin. And as I said, listeners, today we are discussing and continuing our mini-series on demand generation. And the question we're answering is, should you start your demand generation strategy again from scratch, throw the baby out with the bathwater, or can you just go through and complement your existing activities and fill in the gaps with a more overarching demand generation strategy? We're giving you 10 questions to work through today to find the answer to that. Now, before we do that, Kevin, I'd like to start every single episode in this series with our quick definition of demand generation. Demand generation is about building an intense desire in your dream customer to buy from you. Remember, only 3 to 5% of your buyers are in market at any given time. You're going to run out of customers if you only focus on these buyers who are pretty much ready to buy right now, further down the funnel, much higher intent to purchase. What you need to do if you want to be able to scale here is you've got to look to the other 97% of the market, those that are unaware, problem aware, but aren't quite looking for a solution yet. They're not actively looking for a solution. We need to get in front of them. We need to make them know and trust us, so when they are in market, they come to us first. Kevin and I have experienced this many, many times before. It is really the only way to scale beyond that initial 3%. It's very important for any business. And that is what our podcast is all about. Okay, now on to today's topic, Kev. We're going to dig into the first of our 10 questions.
Well, George, I think a little context even before we jump into the 10 questions, which I'm sure listeners will find very helpful in deciding how to go about starting this process. As you said earlier, George, our listeners are probably at that point where they're ready to jump in, they're ready to have a look at demand generation, maybe looking at a couple of the questions that we posed in the previous episodes in this mini series. They've decided demand generation is for me, or I already got some stuff in place that's for demand generation. But where do I go next? How do I really hone in and rein in that demand generation strategy and make it really work towards our goals, the business's objectives, and so on? And the context often is that when marketing teams sit down and have a look at those questions, they're actually incredibly busy. Your in-house marketer is probably putting together sales collateral. They're supporting sales with sales enablement activities, such as organizing events. They might be asked to redo the website, running ads at the same time to try and grow that pipeline. They're probably pumping out social posts in some form or some cadence. They're probably also being asked to do some reporting on the numbers and how the audiences are coming in, and maybe doing a little of audience segmentation, adjusting budgets, and so much more. The marketing teams have so much on already, demand generation and trying to figure out that strategy and what to do next in that space really often falls into the background, because nobody is actively pushing in a business to say, okay, what are we doing in our demand generation next, other than you listeners as the marketers in these busy marketing teams within businesses. So hopefully these next 10 questions will help you decide for yourself if you want to dig into demand generation from scratch, rebuild the whole thing, and start with simple projects to get things off the ground and get those foundations in the right place, or just plug holes or gaps in your existing one where you may have already started some projects and you actually just need to fill them in to help things along for the time being. And question one, as George has helpfully brought up on the slides on his whiteboard, listeners, if you're listening to us on the podcast, make sure you go to YouTube later to check it out. That first question then is, are you and sales aligned on who your best customers are and what segment of the market you're focusing your resources on?
That's right, Kevin. It's very important that we start here with this question because, look, demand generation is ultimately about dedicating the limited resources that you have to capturing demand and creating demand, and then use them to focus on winning over a particular or the most important segment to your business. We don't have unlimited resource. No business has unlimited resource, budget, and time. So we can't go after the whole market at once. That's why it's incredibly important to consider, have you and sales actually sat down and aligned on who it is that you guys are targeting? Who are you going to work together to try and win over? If you're trying to win over every industry and every type of client, the chances are, Kevin, you're not going to be able to make an impact because you just don't have the resources to go deep enough, to show up enough, and to get your message across enough. It also means, Kevin, that you're not going to be targeted enough. You won't have a really deep understanding of their pain points. Your marketing is going to be confusing because it's going to be speaking to too many people at once. So, Kevin, if this is for you, there's a good chance, I'm sorry to say, that you're going to need to start your demand generation strategy again from scratch. These are the foundations for the rest of your demand gen program. So if it's not based on a deep understanding of your best customers, you probably need to go back to the beginning and start again. And that's exactly what we've indicated here on my whiteboard, Kevin, when we're asking, do you have that alignment between marketing and sales? It's really marketing and sales together agreeing based on objectives for the business, based on goals and KPIs that you need to hit, to come together and say, this is what our ideal customer looks like. This is which segment of that we are going to target together over the next one or two quarters. This is the size of the company. This is what the buying committee looks like. These are the key messages. This is the industry that we're in. Even then, Kevin, have a plan for accounts that are showing some intent. Can we actually name them? Can we say there's actually a list of 20, 30, 50 accounts that are showing intent, and this is how we are going to work together to try and win them over? If you don't have that between marketing and sales, there's a very good chance that you probably, Kevin, unfortunately, need to start again.
So that again, listeners, if your marketing and sales are not aligned in your organization, and be honest, because if you are not aligned and you go ahead and try and plug the gaps, those gaps are just going to keep coming up. You're not really going to be able to make any headway. You probably will go in the wrong direction and it's just going to be more pain down the road. Sooner or later, you're going to have to do this work and make sure marketing and sales are aligned on all those agreed ICPs, accounts, and really have that deep understanding that's shared within your organization about who your best customers are and how you will go about getting their attention and focusing your resources to get to them. Question two then, is your understanding of these dream customers' needs informed by customer interviews? If you do have a segment of the market that you're focusing on that you've agreed to, that's great. But where we see so many marketers go wrong is that they get their marketing intel from their competitors or surveys, or even worse, hypothesizing based on some quantitative data they might have collected online of what's important to those dream customers. And maybe even A/B testing some pain points and messaging. But at the end of the day, they haven't really talked to dream customers in some customer interviews. If you're going to build a demand generation program that's built on trust and that makes people want to buy from you, you really need to find out what the needs and pain points are. You need to figure out what the greatest benefits of your product are to those dream customers and where they like to hang out online and offline. What does that buying committee look like? What does their customer journey look like? And so much more. But there's absolutely no substitute for getting these insights than directly from the customer via customer interviews. And as George is kindly illustrating there on the whiteboard, you really need to have that customer interview to get all these points directly from the customers. Don't guess. There's absolutely no substitute for those customer interviews. Not only will you get exactly what those pain points and benefits and everything else that you might need from the dream customers from those interviews, you'll also importantly get the language that they're using so that you can feed that straight into your positioning and messaging to make sure that whatever you're putting out there in market, you're communicating the right things to your dream customers. Without this, you're just guessing at what all those pain points and benefits are, and you're just wasting money. Unfortunately, you don't need to waste money. You don't need to waste time and effort doing that testing. You can just ask your dream customers. Yes, there's going to be a need for testing later as you scale, but especially at the beginning when there's a limited number of resources, limited number of dream customers as well. It's much easier to get that information straight from the horse's mouth through customer interviews. So if you haven't done this and have built your demand generation program on a lot of assumptions, again, you'll likely need to go back and do this and start again. It's a very important foundational piece.
Listeners, guessing equals wasting money. Kevin and I have done it, and we're ashamed to say we've done plenty of it. The faster you get some customer interviews done, the less guessing you're going to do and the less budget you're going to spend. Kevin, look, if you haven't done this work, if you don't understand these customers' needs because you haven't done customer interviews, if you've built a whole strategy on top of false assumptions that you've made, I'm sorry to say it, you're probably going to have to start that strategy again. So throw that baby out with the bathwater, go back to your customer interviews and start things again there. All right, folks, quick breather here. In my time in B2B marketing, generally I've come to realize that there are just certain tools that can be an absolute game changer. And that's why I'm really excited to talk about LeadFeeder. It's a tool that helps you cut through the data and turn those website visitors into solid leads and opportunities for your business. LeadFeeder shows you which companies are checking out your site, tracking their behavior, and it integrates all of this with your CRM. And the result is it's basically like a secret weapon for targeted lead engagement, and it really makes it easier for your team to convert website traffic into sales. Head to leadfeeder.com, give it a free demo, and you'll also get a free extended premium trial when you let the rep know that you found out about LeadFeeder through the B2B Playbook podcast. That's leadfeeder.com. Okay, check it out. Back to the show.
All right, listeners, question three. Are your content pillars reflective of pain points sourced from customer interviews? So we've just talked about customer interviews, but now let's have a look at your content pillars. Are your content pillars what actually helps you build trust with your dream customers online or wherever it is that they might get information from? And also what leads them then to that logical conclusion that you're the perfect solution to the problem they're having? It's so very important that these are based on real problems that your dream customers are having. So make sure that your content pillars and the content that you're building is really coming straight from the interview insights that you're getting from those customer interviews. If you don't know, again, what those pain points are and your content pillars aren't really matched on that and are based more on what your competitors are doing, market analysis or guesses that you're doing based on your quantitative analysis of data that you have, then you probably, again, need to start again, go back to the customer interviews. You can, of course, use your quantitative data and the competitor analysis to confirm certain suspicions that you have and fill in certain gaps, but make sure that those customer interviews are the number one source for your information, the number one source for figuring out what your content pillars are, and simply just match all those pain points that you got from customer interviews into your content pillars.
And again, Kevin, my beautiful diagram shows this visually, so please make sure you go check it out on YouTube if you're not watching there already. Okay, on to question four. Is your content led by subject matter experts? Okay. First of all, what is a subject matter expert? It is the person who's probably not in the marketing team, but it's a person who has genuine expertise in solving the problem that your dream customer has. And that could be someone who's in-house as an in-house resource, or perhaps someone external that you consult, or a potential influencer in the business, but it's someone who knows a lot about the problem that your dream customer has and how to go ahead and solve it. And listen, your buyers are smart. If you have a freelancer faking expertise in your content, your buyers are going to sniff it out a mile away. If, for example, Kevin, let's say that you're selling a product to engineers and you have a freelancer that is not an engineer pretending to have technical expertise, guess what? It's probably not going to work if they've written content that is to be read by an engineer. So as we said, subject matter experts, they're people with real experience and a real understanding of those problems that your dream customers are having, and rarely do they exist in the marketing department. If you don't have a subject matter expert leading your content, look, that's okay. You don't have to start your demand gen strategy from scratch. Instead, as we said, try and source one internally or externally to the business. Make sure that they really understand the key pain points of your dream customers and start involving them in the creation of your pillar pieces of content. What that looks like is a diagram that, again, I've got up on my whiteboard. You have the subject matter expert as the person that you either film or record or get them to write a first piece of content that really addresses the problem that your dream customers have. Make life as easy as possible for them here. We love doing it in a podcast format because you capture video and audio. And then from there, marketer, it's your job to take all those insights and to repurpose those into articles, newsletters, social posts, you know, everything to then distribute that information and get it in front of your dream customers. That then becomes your job. But involve subject matter experts in the original creation of that pillar piece of content. So make sure that you've got that going on. If you don't have to start your strategy again, provided you understand key pain points, just go and start sourcing a subject matter expert and get them involved in creating some content.
Our next couple of questions is very similarly attached to how your content is being formed. So question five, is your content matched to the five stages of awareness framework? So we've talked about the five stages of awareness quite a few times within our podcast on previous episode. And it's our favorite content framework because it gets you to map your content out to the different stages of the buying journey. And again, George has helpfully illustrated this. Those five stages are unaware, problem aware, solution aware, product aware, and most aware. And that's generally a rough guide to how that customer journey looks as they're going through the process into your product or into your service. And it's important to match your content to each of those five stages. You need to be hitting each of the stages of awareness. If your content isn't matched to this framework, that's okay. There's no need to start again. Hopefully you've got all that groundwork in place that we talked about in the first four questions, and you can just plug the holes here. So if this is, you've got some of these areas covered, but you're looking to plug the holes, this is where you can go to take that content to the next level. Go back and figure out what your existing content looks like and matches to the different stages, and where you see gaps, start to fill those in where they exist.
That's it. It's an amazing way to audit your current content. And as Kevin said, plug the gaps where you're missing something. So say you have great ebooks and articles and you find out that you've got really good unaware content. You've got really good content that explores different solutions, great content that shows, you know, what your product is like and case studies and all that kind of stuff. But maybe you actually don't have a lot of content that's around exploring the problem. And that is the area of the five stages of awareness that is what really prompts someone to going from being problem aware to actually starting to prioritize this problem, realize it's a big deal and it's worth dealing with, and then shifts them into starting to look for solutions. And so go through, match your content in there, see where there are gaps, and go through and fill them. No need to start again, as Kevin said.
All right, George. Question six then is, do you have a method for repurposing content and distributing it to your dream customers? And in particular, where your dream customers hang out. For demand gen to work, your content needs to feature subject matter experts and it needs to be put in front of your dream customers. If you've answered the first five questions in the affirmative, you've done all that work to get the great content out there. It's matched to the five stages of awareness. It's done by your subject matter experts. It's the content that speaks to pain points and the benefits that your dream customers care about, but you still need to put that content in front of your dream customers so they can then consume that helpful content. But because subject matter experts' time is precious, as we alluded to in an earlier question, rather than having them involved in pushing out every single one of those pieces of content, a better strategy is to book them, as George said earlier, once in that pillar piece of content, and then have a repurposing system to turn this one core piece of pillar content into many more pieces of content that you can use over time. So the example that we always like to give is that we do this one video podcast once a week and we get 12 LinkedIn posts, 3 articles, 1 newsletter, and up to 12 YouTube shorts and even TikToks in the future maybe from that one piece of content, from just that pillar piece of content that we put together once a week. So that's what hopefully you have a system in place to do with your subject matter experts. If you don't have the system in place, that's okay. Go back and document your system for turning pillar content into smaller pieces of content. You don't need to start again. That's the good news. Now that we're in the later questions, if you don't have that system in place, you don't need to start again. You just need to document that content repurposing system to help you start building all these smaller pieces of content. And also make sure you have a content calendar in place. It's so easy to lose track of the big picture and where you're at. So if you have a content calendar in place, you'll know exactly what is being posted and where and what you potentially might be missing. Again, this is very much a plugging the hole, plugging the gaps type of situation. And the important thing here is consistency is key. So make sure that your systems and your content calendar, all those things are helping you become consistent and stay consistent.
That's it. And make sure you pick up some tools along the way to help you with that repurposing process. Some of our favorites are Descript, ChatGPT, and Authored Up. We go through in our LinkedIn posts how to use each of those. And of course, it's a key part of our demand generation program, the B2B Incubator. But yes, repurposing and distribution, incredibly important. If you haven't got it documented, go back and do that, but no need to start your demand generation strategy again. On to question 7, Kevin. Are you tracking leading and lagging indicators of success of your demand generation program? Look, if you have an existing demand gen program in place, make sure that you measure first the leading and lagging indicators of success before changing tact. Maybe what you're doing, Kevin, maybe what people are doing is already working, but we just don't have a measurement system in place to actually capture that. So we like to split up our leading and lagging indicators into our 3 tiers of measurement. It goes from tier 3, which is really looking at like our channel level KPIs. So what we're doing on social and articles, is that starting to show signs of life? To tier 2, which is how do we show that what we're doing is starting to be an early indicator to revenue? So are we starting to get more high intent revenue opportunities? Is our CRM starting to tell us that there are some opportunities coming from there? Are we getting qualitative feedback as well from sales, from self-reported attribution that, hey, We actually are starting to hear that people are seeing our content and it is making them book more meetings with us and it is contributing to pipeline. And then ultimately, we want to work our way to tier one, Kevin, which is yes, marketing is impacting revenue. We look at the revenue that we're driving, we look at our cost per acquisition, and we look at the pipeline velocity as well. If you have any questions around these three tiers of measurements, again, it's something that we cover in our program, the B2B Incubator. But also, Kevin, if someone just Googles how to measure demand generation, we're sitting pretty on the first page there. Click on the link from the b2bplaybook.com and we give you our three tiers in detail.
Fantastic. And listeners, there's a lot of detail there, but it's very easy to look at those three tiers to figure out exactly where you're sitting, exactly what you need to plug in as a gap again to move up the tiers to where you need to be. So question eight then is, have you tried account-based marketing? So for listeners who have products that are five figures plus when doing one transaction, you want to have launched a pilot account-based marketing program. This helps accelerate demand for those who are expressing more intent. And because the figures are so big for that one transaction, you actually need some extra work to get them across the line. And that's where account-based marketing really becomes important. If you haven't, again, that's okay. It's rather advanced at this point, but you can simply layer this on top of your existing strategy. If you've done all the legwork before in setting up the foundations and getting your demand generation engine going, you've got all the helpful content going already, account-based marketing should be quite easy to put on top and really just hit those big, really engaged accounts and have something like an 8-week ABM play, as George has highlighted there, to really hit those engaged accounts and push them through from product aware to most aware and on across the line for the sale.
That's it. It's where we start moving to named accounts, literally naming the accounts that we want to win over, and then creating a strategy between marketing and sales to take high touch, deliberate actions to work together to warm up those accounts and then to activate them into paying accounts. Look, again, as Kevin said, you don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater on this one. This is something that you can add on top of your existing demand generation strategy if you haven't already. On to question nine, which is, do you have product ads running? So product ads help educate on the benefits and the features of your product. They're really important in addition to the content that you've created on the five stages of awareness. If you've created these and they're based on real insights from customer interviews, play on, I say, Kevin. That's fantastic. If they're not, make sure you go through and you create these product ads based on the conversations that you're having with your customers. Make sure that when you do ads which talk about your main service, make sure that it's your main service as your customer sees it. Make sure that when you talk about the problems that you help with, make sure it's about those problems in the customer's words as they see it, not as you see it. When it comes to the benefits and features, again, these are the benefits that your customers really get from your product. Not the ones that you think they get, but the ones that they actually tell you that they get. And then the features that go ahead and actually enable those benefits as well. Then of course, Kevin, we have important things like social proof around our product. Of course, that probably overlaps with the five stages of awareness content that you're pushing out as well. But they're really the key things that you need to put into your product ads. If you haven't done it, make sure you go through and do this. If you already have those insights from customers, go through and plug those into your ads. If you've created ads based on assumptions and you don't have those insights from customers, you got to go back and probably start again.
But hopefully not, listeners. Hopefully you're ready at this point just to do a few tweaks to your product ads and get them running a little bit smoother. And then you're on to question 10. Is your demand generation strategy documented? Very important here to document your demand generation strategy. It's likely that you're caught up in your day-to-day and you've been knocking out all these different things that we talked about in the previous nine questions, but maybe you just haven't had that time to put down the strategy that you've been implementing, or you haven't put down that long-term plan you have that you're executing, which is floating in your head, but you're doing bits and pieces along the way. If it's documented, it can be easily shared with sales, leadership, new members of the team to really help with alignment and make sure that there's no further alignment issues coming up in the future, because everyone can have this one document to refer back to realign and refocus in whenever they start to stray from the path. Parts can be outsourced too as well if you have this plan documented, especially as you're scaling and maybe you don't want to do everything in-house, just to speed up the process a little bit. And at this point, we want to say that is one of the key benefits of the B2B Incubator as well, the program that we put together to help people put in place their demand generation strategy. Not only does it do that for them within a 12-week period, importantly, again, it documents that process. And you go away after the end of the incubator program with that documentation in place. It doesn't matter whoever goes through the program within your business, they learn it. But importantly, that documentation stays with your business for the duration of your business. For the lifetime of your business, you have that documented and you have something to fall back to even after the program is over.
That's right. You also get live Q&As with myself and Kevin. Answer any questions that you have when it comes to the tactical implementation of this strategy, so there is no stone left unturned. But you, of course, want to document, as Kevin said, the goals that you're trying to achieve with demand generation, the plan to execute it, the activities that you need to have to execute that plan, how you're going to measure it, and then what people you need in place to actually go ahead and do it. It's all incredibly important if you want to have that in place, if you want it to scale, and if you want to get buy-in from the team within, that demand generation is something worth pursuing. So if that's something you need a hand with, make sure you check out the b2bplaybook.com/the-b2b-incubator, or just Google the B2B Incubator and it will come up.
All right, listeners, that is the 10 questions to help you decide whether you need to start again with your demand generation strategy, or you can just plug in the gaps. Hopefully these 10 questions will help you decide exactly where to go from here in your demand generation journey. And again, B2B Incubator if you want to hand documenting all that. Key takeaways for this episode: if your demand generation program is based on a deep understanding of a segment of the market, your dream customers, then there's likely no need to completely throw out your existing demand generation strategy. Most marketers need to take the pieces they currently have in place and weave it together in an overarching strategy that is documented. And we give you a structured strategy to work through for your demand generation program. It's called our 5Bs framework. You can follow it step by step to build out your robust demand generation program that will drive consistent pipeline and revenue.
Very good, Kevin. Thank you. Okay, listeners, as always, you can find links to everything that we discussed in the show notes, including the B2B Incubator program. We are so grateful that each week more and more marketers tune in every Monday. And if we can ask one thing, it would be to please pass on the show to someone who you think would get value from it. Also, make sure you check us out on YouTube. Comment, subscribe, do all those wonderful things. It's a huge help to us and we really, really appreciate it. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. Take care and catch you next week.
Thank you, George. Thank you, listeners. Catch you all next week.
A quick note before you go, listeners. You can find more great content and get in touch with us at theb2bplaybook.com.
Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and our newsletter while you're there to get the latest news, tips, and resources from our playbook.
We'll be back the same day and same time with another episode next week.
Thanks for tuning in to the B2B Playbook. Remember, successful B2B marketing starts with the buyer.